Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall. If you miss any of the show, we've moved our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search Morning Drive in Apple or Spotify or log on to thegamenashville.com. Find our daily audio, rate, review, and subscribe today. Titans lose 38-28 over the weekend yesterday to the New Orleans Saints, and Michael Thomas sets records yesterday. Drew Brees is the all-time leading passer in basically every single major NFL category you can possibly think of. So Titans fans, if you were at the game, however many of you were there, obviously saw some cool stuff yesterday for the other team, obviously. Predators also take 2 points from Boston in overtime. They take 7 out of 8 in their four-game road trip.
Big game yesterday.
Really,
for the Preds.
Yeah, really important week for the Preds as they collect 7 out of 8 points and kind of right the ship a little bit there. Corey Curtis joining us here, News 2. And Corey, there are... To me, there are two different ways, and I don't know if you heard last segment, but there's two different ways to look at this outcome yesterday, that it literally meant absolutely nothing in the standings, that you didn't have Derrick Henry or Dory Jackson, and you still managed to go toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the NFL, and outside of a bad targeting call, you were right there at the end of the game. Now it's all in front of you. Or all the major issues you've had with this team all season long came to light, and this is what's going to cost this team in the playoffs. Which way do you look at it?
Well, I think they're both really true. You know, I don't think the game meant nothing though. I mean, if you win that game, all you have to have is the Steelers lose Sunday, and you're in the playoffs. So,
and the Colts.
No, I mean, if they would have won yesterday, this next Sunday,
all that happened
is Pittsburgh to lose. So, you could have helped yourself out by winning this football game. So, I don't think it's entirely meaningless. And just interesting to see, early they were able to get after Brees a little bit. The Saints had a couple of penalties, and that lasted for, what, about 20 minutes, 25 uh-huh. minutes? And then it all kind of came apart. But to me it's interesting how, not having Derrick Henry, kind of influenced some of this stuff as well. The Saints really able to come after the quarterback because they're just not as worried about Deion Lewis back there as they are having Derrick Henry back there. I think the last 9 games, I think they're giving up 25 points a game as opposed to those first 6. I don't know what the number was, but it was in the mid-teens.
I think it was 17, 16 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're giving considerably more points. Some of that has to do with opponents. Some of it has to do with injury. So that hasn't changed. But I think, it's kind of who they are right now at this time, a team capable of scoring some more points, but also a team that's now giving up more points.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you can blame that game on many different things. Obviously, the number one thing to me is Derrick Henry didn't play, and you saw how much different that offense was. Even though Deion Lewis, I felt, played really well. He averaged almost 5 yards a carry. He had a big run, the 17-yard run. But looking at that game, and do you trust if this hamstring isn't 100%? Because I don't think they can beat Houston unless Houston have to sit a lot of people. I don't think they can beat Houston with 80% Derrick Henry. I think he has to be closer to 90%, closer to 100%, if not 100%. Because I'm judging it by the way they played them last time. I don't think Houston was worried about Derrick Henry, but once they found he couldn't be that home run hitter, they kind of switched things up a little bit. Can you trust in Ryan Tannehill to win new games moving forward if Derrick Henry's not 100%?
Well, I mean, that's the big question, because going into this game, once I learned Derrick Henry wasn't going to play, I was saying that. I was like, well, they're going to have to lean on Ryan Tannehill to try to win the game. And if you're asking Ryan Tannehill to go toe-to-toe with Drew Brees, that's probably not going to work out real well. And, you look at their first 2 scores, they're 41 yards and 49 yards. That's players making plays with the football in their hands. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Ryan Tannehill. I'm just saying that Tannehill didn't lead those drives. Those were plays that guys just made. And so, you have to still wonder because, that's still, yesterday they score 28 points, it's still a game where he threw, I think, 26 passes. Was he 17 of 26?
27?
Yeah, you're still not seeing him, you know, throw 35, 40 passes leading this team, you know, up and down the field. So I think it's a legitimate point, Derek, that if this team is – when this team's really good, it's when number 22 is leading the way. Now, if the Texans don't start Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins, you know, 80, 90% Derrick Henry may be enough, but in the postseason it won't be enough.
Corey Curtis joining us here, and that raises the other issue, which is the offensive line, of course. And, you know, Taylor Lewan certainly had things to say about it after the game. He's already sent out a few – he's posted some comments on the Twitter sphere, of course, as he tends to do. Not that big of a deal to me. The bigger deal is that when you get work – like, it's just – you've just been talking about being bad all season. It felt like they had sort of corrected some of those mistakes. They gave up 5 sacks yesterday. They're exposed without Derrick Henry as well. What are your thoughts on the offensive line's play yesterday and what it means against a Texans team, which doesn't have a great pass rush, but then a playoff team potentially?
Well, I mean, it's not that surprising because, like I said, what they've done is based on, you know, battering people with number 22. And so when you're going forward – and, you know, they've got 8, 9 guys committed, you know, to number 22. It opens things up in the passing game, and they can't bring quite as many, you know, to run after the quarterback. And, you know, when that changes, it changes the way you play defense. And, you know, the offensive line, you know, has gotten a lot of things, you know, corrected, but not enough. There was one play where they held in 2 tight ends. I think it was the play where Taylor wound up on his behind. I think they held – no, it wasn't. It was a different play, so forgive me. But it was in one play they held in 2 tight ends and still gave up the sack. So, you know, it's – you know, they're not great in that department when that's just what they have to do, when they're one-dimensional. They need to be multi-dimensional. And that, you know, kind of why it's important for them to continue playing with the lead. And as soon as they got behind in that game, you kind of knew they were in a little bit of trouble.
All right, Corey, big picture here. If they, because the likelihood of them not making it to the playoffs, I think they beat Houston because I think Houston's just going to come into the game trying not to get anyone hurt. I don't, that Pittsburgh game, even if they win, Titans, I think, has the tiebreaker. So, and then it would have Indianapolis, there's a whole big scenario that has to go on for the Titans to make it, but I think they do get in the playoffs. With that being said, 8-8, losing the last 3 games of the season, what do you think about that team, or what's being said about that team, even though they made the playoffs, but they're 1 game worse than it was the year prior?
You know, it's interesting because I've gotten some reaction already about this team. And a lot of it is that people feel better about this team, you know, moving forward into next year already because of where they are. And I don't know if it's because people, you know, are all in on Tannehill or what. You know, it is different than last year because last year was kind of weird. Last year they had so many injuries that they had to battle through, you know, just trying to kind of piece this thing together. But the fact is, you know, you're still looking at a 4th straight 9-7, or possibly 8-8, like you said. And, you know, you kind of thought that the talent on this team was better than that. And the stat that I look at that's not great is 4-4 at home. You know, there's too much talent on this team to be 4-4 at home. And so it's to me, it's kind of a missed opportunity this year. And, you know, we've seen this team play really well, and we've also seen it play not so well. And so, you know, I the big picture for fans, I think fans are feeling better about it. But for me, I'm looking at it as kind of a missed opportunity.
Quickly, looking at this team and knowing how they can potentially finish, meaning 8-8, this might be a little bit too far-fetched, but – are you worried, not from a dysfunctional standpoint, because I don't think this is a dysfunctional team at all, but are you worried this can be the Cleveland Browns, because we saw the same thing with Baker Mayfield, and they went on this run when they switched quarterback. All this other stuff happened. The Titans go on this run with Ryan Tannehill, and then all of a sudden things start to slow down, teams figure him out, going to the next season, high hopes, and all of a sudden you end up not the team that many thought you were.
Well, it's a good point, Derek, and I think, number one, they're not dysfunctional. You're right. I mean, the Browns have a culture issue, and I don't think that the Titans do. But they do have a big-picture question to ask about their quarterback, and that is he has played well and he has looked very good, but you still have to ask yourself, is he the guy who can take us to the Super Bowl? You know, and that was the whole question about Marcus Mariota coming in. You know, was he the guy that could take us to the Super Bowl? And that question still remains, you know, about Ryan Tannehill, and it's why you'd like to see him get them to the playoffs and see how he does in the playoffs. You know, because there are a lot of guys in the NFL, and there are quarterbacks in the NFL who are good, but they need the rest of the parts around them to be good for them to be very good. You know, Dak Prescott, I think, is one of those guys, and there are other guys like that. And I think they need to figure out just how good, you know, Ryan Tannehill is, because I think that's the big question that they have to answer. I think they probably already answered it to themselves, but, you know, he can answer a little bit more in the coming weeks.
How much is the franchise tag going to be worth? About $26 million, $27 million? I think that's about what they're going to pay him next year. That's my guess.
Yeah, I think I said 3 years, $78 million was the number I came up with. So that'll be right there.
There you go. Corey Curtis, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you, sir.
All right, bye.
Yeah, absolutely. Corey Curtis News 2 there. We've got a Christmas miracle this morning, Derek.
Yes.
A Christmas surprise. A little extra something-something for you folks here.
A little sauce for you people.
On a Monday morning. NFL fans, don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show, starting your morning off with the kickoff from 11 to 1 p.m., followed by the NFL pregame show featuring Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders live from George Jones downtown on 2nd Avenue this Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Texans. That game flexed to the 3:25 time slot. The Chiefs and Chargers will be at noon, and if the Chiefs win that game, the Texans will have literally nothing to play for. That could be a factor. Make sure you're checking out the NFL pregame show, because it's brought to you by Wholesaling, powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. A little surprise for you folks when we come back
right
here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.